In Webster's dictionary, the word work is defined first as bodily or mental effort exerted to do or make something, purposeful activity, labor, toil. Whatever our work is, or whatever our work has been, it's likely that we think of it as effort expended or exerted, labor or toil. We look at our own hard work, more often than not, as the source of producing all that we have, all that we have had, and all that we will have. Hard work brings about an understandable kind of pride in us about our efforts. The contribution of our work to what we have cannot be argued, but neither can God's contribution be argued. As the Israelites were at the border of the land that God had promised to give them, his servant Moses said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 10 through 18, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today." God was the continuing benefactor of his people Israel, but he's the continuing benefactor of all people. Jesus once said of his Father God, "He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." God provides for us, whether we acknowledge his blessings or his benefits, the things that he brings into our lives, or not. And whether or not we acknowledge his existence, he's still there, still at work, doing what he does. Jesus again once said of his Father, "He is always at work." And he might well have added, "to our benefit." Sometimes it takes traumatic events for us to recognize God's benefits in our lives. Sarah Breathnock had such an experience, and she writes this article about her experience. "While eating out at a restaurant in the mid-1980s, I discovered that Chicken Little knew what he was talking about. The sky could fall suddenly, and it landed on my head by way of a large ceiling panel, knocking me to the table. No one else in the restaurant was hit. I didn't lose consciousness, but I sustained a head injury that left me bedridden, confused, and disoriented for months, and partially disabled for a year and a half. During the first few months of recuperation, my senses were all skewed. My eyesight was blurry, and I was very sensitive to light, so the shades in my bedroom had to be drawn at all times. Even seeing the different patterns on my bed quilt jarred my equilibrium. I had to turn the quilt over to its plain muslin backing. I couldn't listen to music because it made me dizzy. I couldn't carry on a phone conversation because processing the sounds and rearranging them into meaningful patterns in my brain was impossible. And I couldn't taste my food or smell the luscious fragrance of my little girl's hair after it was washed. There were days when the slightest touch was painful. Something as light as a sheet on my bare legs became unbearably heavy. And pulling a sweater on over my elbows caused the same kind of jolt you get when fingernails scratch across a chalkboard. Other senses that I had taken for granted my entire life became strangers, and I sorely missed them. Like a cat who's had her whiskers trimmed, I lost my sense of balance as well as my perception of depth and distance. Just the thought of getting out of bed to fix a cup of tea was bruising because I knew I would stumble and fall. I had been writing for the Washington Post as a lifestyle journalist, and because of the accident, I was also denied the consolation of some keen companions, the written and spoken word, not to mention my livelihood and my sense of belonging. Having to spend my days in bed and not in the company of my family, unable to care for my daughter, Katie, who was just 2 years old, I also lost my sense of identity. If I wasn't a wife, mother, writer, then who was I? In one freak moment, it seemed my sense of humor, my sense of place, my sense of purpose, my sense of safety, but most importantly, my sense of peace were all erased. These unsettling side effects lasted for a few months and changed my life in ways I could scarcely have imagined. Because I was unable to speak articulately or read with comprehension, I was overcome with shame. Even when I was no longer bedridden, I felt so embarrassed by my condition that I didn't venture any farther than my own backyard. Naturally, this increased my already enormous sense of isolation. Instead of enjoying the companionship of family and friends, my days were now filled with a feeling of loss, my nights a terrifying dread about my future. During my senseless period, I went through a bitter, "Why me? Why this? Why now?" litany. Why had God singled me out for this misery? Of course, I know that my accident wasn't an act of God, but instead of a head-on collision between circumstance and human error. The ceiling panel in the restaurant hadn't been completely screwed back in place after repair to an air conditioning duct. I have truly come to believe that when we're struck down by adversity, God weeps with us. Then, because we're so loved, He heals us in ways we can never imagine. My downtime was a perfect opportunity for heaven to get my complete attention. Chief among my discoveries was this: divinity is to be found where and when you least expect it. Moses found his God in a burning bush, and I found mine in a pot of homemade spaghetti sauce. Months after my accident, the spaghetti sauce was the first thing I was able to smell distinctly. As the aroma of a friend's kind gift simmering on the stove wafted up to my bedroom, I could scarcely believe my nose. Euphoric, I followed the strange but familiar fragrance of garlic, onions, tomatoes, peppers, and oregano down the stairs and into the kitchen. I was practically beside myself with delight. I felt like I was standing on holy ground in my own house. I had discovered the miracle of the sacred in the ordinary. From that moment, my life would be forever changed. Taking a spoon, I dipped it into the sauce and brought it to my lips. I wasn't able to taste the sauce yet, just distinguish between temperature and texture. It didn't matter. I was so grateful to inhale the glorious scent of ordinary life that I was off and running. I went up to the bathroom and got out a jar of Vicks Vapor Rub. Yes, eucalyptus! Then I buried my face in some freshly laundered clothes and inhaled the fragrance of a warm shirt. And so it went. For the next few happy weeks, I rediscovered life with the same sense of wonder as my little girl. Taste came next, followed by hearing, sight, and touch. Each sensory restoration was accompanied by a feeling of rapture and even sudden tears. Biting into a ripe, juicy peach, listening to music, seeing a bright sunlight stream through a window, being able to wear my favorite sweater, and naturally, cradling my daughter in my arms again. I was astonished and ashamed at my appalling lack of appreciation for what had been right under my nose. Cliched or not, we just don't know how blessed we are until misfortune strikes. No more. I swore I would never, ever forget. And I haven't. All these years later, I strive to make each day a passionate, sensuous experience, one in which I take time to savor life's textures, tastes, sights, sounds, and aromas. Through the power and grace of gratitude, you too can do the same. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, "The unthankful heart discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessings." Long ago, perhaps 200 years ago, John Oxenham wrote this poem entitled, "We Thank Thee, Lord, for all things beautiful and good and true, for things that seem not good, yet turn to good, for all the sweet compulsions of thy will that chased and tried and wrought us to thy shape, for things unnumbered that we take of right and value first when first they are withheld, for light and air, sweet sense of sound and smell, for ears to hear the heavenly harmonies, for eyes to see the unseen in the seen, for vision of the worker in the work, for hearts that apprehend thee everywhere, we thank thee, Lord." In the flurry of the holiday activities, may we be people with thankful hearts. May we be people who glorify God with thanksgiving tonight, tomorrow, and every day.
Has anything good happened in your life this year? If it has, we've provided a place for you to just take a few minutes right now and write it down on the back of this program this evening. Just take a few minutes and write that down. Now, if you know something good has happened to you this year and it's all you picking yourself up by your own bootstraps and earning it all yourself, then maybe you don't need to be thankful and share it. You earned it. But if God's helped you, and you've ever just been so thankful, and you tell God, "How could I ever thank you for what you've done for me?" Then acknowledge it, write it down, and share it with someone else. Maybe tomorrow while you're around the table with your family and friends, this will help you think of something that you've been thankful for, and you can share that with others and what God's done for you. So we'll just take about 2 minutes and just try to think of something and write it down. One of my favorite examples of someone just publicly giving thanks is in the parable of the prodigal son. The father, he says, "Bring the fatted calf and prepare it and let's celebrate. For my son was dead and now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found." Maybe you have a son that was lost and he's found. Maybe a brother. Sometimes hard times open our eyes to things that we don't see otherwise. Maybe you've gone through something and this year your eyes have been opened and you've realized just how great a friend you might have. How you've taken that person for granted and now you know how much they care about you or mean to you because you've gone through something and they've been there for you. Or maybe it's been a family member, a brother, a father, a mother that you've this year just realized how blessed you are to have them. Maybe this year you've been through a stressful time, maybe with your job, maybe with family, maybe with many different things, but maybe you've just had to face a health issue or something that you just thought you could never get through, and God has taken you through it and given you peace, and you want to be thankful for that. You don't want to forget it. I think writing things down, it's a way to acknowledge what God's done for us. And it's a way to help us, remind us what He's done for us so we can share it with others.
I'll be reading from Psalms 118, verses 24 through 29. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
I will be reading from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 15 through 17, if you'd like to follow along. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I would like to commend you ladies for even being here tonight. With all the hustle and bustle that you have to endure for tomorrow. And I would like to also suggest to the men, stay out of the kitchen. Can I share something with you? At our house, when our children were growing up, they listened to some of the men say thanks at the dinner table, and they said, "Dad, why do they say and thank you for the tender juice?" Which leads us to think, okay, where did they get that tender juice thing? Well, the words, of course, thank you, Lord, for the food and for its intended use. I'll share something else with you. At our home, we said at the dinner table and every table, our thanked God for the food. My youngest son, Gary, when it come his turn to say the prayer, we all breathed a sigh and took a deep breath because we knew it would be long and drawn out. Because he would say, thank God for the moon, for the stars, and for the sun, for the birds, for the trees, for the pets, for the grass, for the pavement, and anything else he could think of. And occasionally he would thank God for the food. Billy and I laughed about that a lot of times. Thank you for being here. I commend you for it. Let's pray. Holy God, as we celebrate this occasion of thankfulness, help us remember who made it all possible. We give thanks to those who gave their lives for us. But more than that, Lord, we thank you for the cross, for the crown of thorns, for the spear-driven side, for the blood that was shed for us on the cross. Thank you for Jesus and for his willingness to die for us. But most of all, Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us now as we separate from this place and go with us safely. Through his name we pray. Amen.